May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Easter, historically, I don't know what in the world happened to it, historically, for 2,000 years, is a 50-day celebration. It's not just a Sunday, Easter. It's the season of Easter. And we celebrate that until Pentecost, which is the conclusion of Easter. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that actually makes Easter real to us and in us. This is a verse that I've kind of been focusing on. Those who are CTKers will keep doing it on Sunday. I hope we do until it's running out of your ears spiritually, emotionally, in every way, mentally. He says, for the anxious longing, Romans 8:19, of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not in its own will, not by its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself would be set free from its slavery to corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. I just love that. That this description of the children of God, now this is, of course, post-resurrection reality, the description of people of resurrection is they live in glorious freedom. Now, Sunday CTKers will talk more about that. What does that mean? What causes you to have such glorious freedom? But all of creation, all of fallen humanity, even the whole natural world has been waiting for the children of God who walk in glorious freedom to bring glorious freedom to them, to it. And that's happening even now. And eventually, we'll even get a new heavens and new earth. Even this world to be set free from the presence of the curse. But that verse I read to you from Matthew 27 fascinates me, because what they're telling Pilate is basically this. He said, look, these people have been a lot of trouble. And if you remember, what that guy used to say all the time was, is that after 3 days, he's going to rise from the dead. Now, what if his disciples go and steal his body? And then they start running around saying he's risen, they're going to be a much bigger problem to deal with after that than they ever were before. If people who followed him think that he rose from the dead, that's going to be a bigger mess than we've ever had to deal with. Well, unfortunately for them, it wasn't just that people started running around saying he's risen from the dead, he actually did. And it said over and over again that he revealed himself to people over a 40-day period of time that he was risen. In Acts 1, I think it's verse 2, it said, he presented himself alive to them. There is this verse, we'll just kind of plod along during these days of Easter, where Jesus said to those disciples whom he had just told he was going to go away. This is his last Bible study with them in the upper room. He says he's going away. Now they're depressed. And Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, then believe also in me. In my Father's house are many abiding places, not houses, not mansions. That's not what he says here. There are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you'll be also. And if you go on and read the verses that he's talking about here, he goes on, he says, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. I know I'm leaving you, but I'm actually going to come be with you. I'm actually going to be in you. It's actually going to be in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now that's a prophetic word to them, or insight to them about what's going to happen after the resurrection. It happened at Pentecost. And so what the Holy Spirit does, talks about it in twice, it uses this term in John 16, twice in John 14, that the work of the Holy Spirit, he says, he will disclose me to you. He will disclose all that I have to you, or manifest, or reveal. The word is to emphasize. Well, who? Jesus. What Jesus? The risen Jesus. The Holy Spirit's job is to make real in you the risen Jesus. How do I connect all these dots? Because I got all these thoughts going in my head. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. One of the favorite things for leaders to talk about in our day, and it's a very good thing, I talk about it, and it's the word breakthrough. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, it talks about God being the God of breakthrough. And this is right after David's become king. And the Philistines decide to come and attack him because they don't like him. They fear him. They learned all the songs that were sung years before. If Saul has had his thousands, David will have his 10,000s. They knew he was the great hero. And it says that the Lord tells David to go up to give battle, go to battle. I will give the Philistines into your hand. This is verse 20. This is where the whole idea of God being a God of breakthrough comes from. So David came to Baal, Perazim, and defeated them. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, he named that place Baal Perazim. So, in some unseen way, God had broken through. And having broken through, he invited them, drew them through the breakthrough where he was waiting on them. Let me tell you what the ultimate breakthrough is. The resurrection. Jesus broke through the baddest cat in town, death itself. I mean, he picked on the biggest bully on the block, knocked him out with one punch, and says, now anything else you may ever face, you don't have to fear. That's the place he went and prepared for us. A place in Christ where we know by the Holy Spirit the power of resurrection. The quote that I quoted Sunday morning, which is one of my favorite quotes again by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in the resurrection just like I believe in the sunrise. Not just because I can see it, but because by it I can see everything else. You see, every spiritual breakthrough that you and I have, we're breaking through into him. He's already gone before us, and he's waiting for us to break through. Not to get something that we don't have, but to enter into the experience of something that we already have in him. Ephesians 1:3 says, for we have, past tense, been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. So I don't know what kind of breakthrough you're hoping for, but every spiritual blessing would probably fall under the category, right? Your breakthrough would fall under the category of every. And it's all in the realm of resurrection life. And Jesus is waiting on the side of resurrection life, inviting us to enter in, to move into resurrection life, into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Freedom from things like what? Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians? Now, these are all the random things that are going on in my head. This has been such a powerful time for me. Paul said, I recognize no man according to the flesh anymore. I'm a new creation. He's talking about resurrection, breakthrough into resurrection. He didn't recognize any man according to the flesh anymore. In other words, he didn't see anything the same anymore. The glorious freedom of what? Things like the power of sin in your life, attitudes in your life, being controlled by personalities, things like the way you view the world, the way you interpret news. You know, one of the reasons I discovered, and I'm seeing Maya here, and passion she has for the city, the calling that we've all called in our city. It's interesting to sit and talk to Christians who sit on two sides of cultural realities and they just can't seem to have a conversation with each other. Like they just don't get it. You got one that sees from this perspective and all they can see is this. You got another see that's from this experience and they don't understand why you can't understand their experience. And so nobody seems to have compassion on each other. And they just get stuck. It's because they're not living in the power of resurrection. When you break through into resurrection, you don't see anything the same again. Because you know what? It says in 1 Peter 1:3, "For we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ." Only people living in the realm of resurrection, who are living in glorious freedom, have hope about their own personal struggles, about the struggles of others, about you can actually get from here to here. I can help you get from here to here. I understand how hard it is for you to help me to get from here to here. This is I don't get it. I don't get how a person who lives in the power of resurrection can be unmerciful. Now, have I ever been unmerciful? Yeah, but I know what to repent towards, right? The breakthrough. I don't get you can't believe in healing, or you can't believe. I don't get how people who live in the power of resurrection, who live in new creation, who are experiencing glorious freedom, tolerate a molecule of racism or prejudice in them. I don't get why they don't have the mind of Christ and can't hear what somebody else is saying from the other place they came through and can't have hope. They can get to where, and it's got nothing to do with the American dream. God's got a bigger dream, a heavenly vision. I don't get those things. Because we need breakthrough. But here's the good news. It's not like we're trying to break through something that's never been broke through. He's already broken through. It's called the resurrection. It's new creation. New creation means new creation. You think different. That's what it says in Joshua when they would enter into the promised land, which is a picture of living resurrection life. He said it's going to change everything you think, everything you say, everything you do. You can't live in Canaan and think like people in Egypt or people in the wilderness. And too many Christians do. Oh, well, let's stop. Or we'll just keep going and going. We'll talk some more. The whole creation's. Listen, the hope of division in our city or in our country isn't passing a new law. Or isn't any particular party getting elected. Or a particular president who's of a particular color. It's the church. We're the hope. We're the light of the world. It's the hope in your family. It's the hope in your neighborhood. It's the hope where you work. We're called to colonize the entire world for the kingdom of God. How can we colonize when the colonists don't even know their homeland is not here? We're heavenly. We're in Christ. We think from a heaven perspective. We're resurrection people. John Paul II said to a bunch of leaders from international places, he says, "Don't look at the Western world as your model for transformation." He said, "They know how to build amazing things, but they don't know how to live with them. They can create technology to call your eyes to pop, but they can't raise their own children." And the thing he used to always say, because you see, we're Easter people, and our song is Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.